Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. Hour number three here on a hump day. We're going to get you all the way to go home time on a Friday afternoon. But in the meantime, it is the third hour of a hump day afternoon, which means we got to go to a thing we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio, and we just ping each other with questions and see where the chips fall. And sometimes we agree and sometimes we don't, but we love each other nonetheless. So let me just call the roll real quick. From down yonder in South Alabama in Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show, editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Oh, by the way, works with Breitbart and Lanyap and all that. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed, and we're glad of it. All right, and then turning northward, proxy today for the absent Dale Jackson. Basically, he's the host of the Yaffe program on 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville. Also, by the way, the host of Yaffe Live on FM 102.3 out of Chattanooga Afternoons. Yaffe, are you there?
I am here.
We're glad of it. Thank you for standing in, brother.
Sounds good.
I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. All right, as always, too, the Grand Council brought to you on Wednesdays by DeKalb MD, Healthcare Simplified. I'll tell you more about DeKalb MD in just a few minutes. But let me go Jeff Poor first. What is your question for the crew?
So Dick Durbin's announced retirement today.
Woo.
The fourth Democrat U.S. Senator to announce not running for re-election in the next cycle. Puts it with Tina Smith, Gary Peters, Gene Shaheen, and now Dick Durbin. Do we read anything into that as that pertains to the midterms?
Well, I'll jump in first and say it's actually five. You left off Mitch McConnell.
Well, he's not a new one.
I think right now what they're watching is two things. I think they're seeing that the winds of change are not in their favor. And secondly, I see they're seeing that their base is getting so far to the left that it's getting more and more frustrating to try and tie themselves to a group they don't even really recognize. So that's my first thought. I really think that, and I also think too, these are, if I'm thinking through the names you just listed, you're talking about folks who've been up there for a long time, and really it's about time for them to clear house and go to the house. That's my thought on it. Yaff, what do you think?
I'm not sure I read too much into it. I tend to think what you said, the second thing you said there, is kind of the reality. It was their time to go. I don't know. I know there's some division in the Democrat Party, but with some things going on right now, I mean, the Democrats could still do pretty well in the midterms. So for them to kind of run away now, I'm just not sure that's the case.
Well, and I don't even know, too, though, Jeff, weigh in on your own question. Are they in areas where they were at risk if they ran again?
Not necessarily. Michigan, maybe. New Hampshire, maybe a long shot. Minnesota, a little bit, you know, but certainly not Illinois at all. But I would say this. I think I would read into the Durbin announcement is like, hey, you might not get to be in leadership in the majority. It may not happen this time. It can happen in the House, but it may not happen in the Senate. I'd add to this, though. I think these guys on the Democrat side are going to face some kind of Republican challenger, a potentially expensive general election cycle, and just like who wants to deal with it. So, look, it may not be like expanding majorities, but tells me the Democrats think that this election cycle could be a little bit harder.
Yeah,
coming going than probably some of our friends in the media will tell us it is.
Yeah, I don't think the midterms are going to be super friendly to the left. And I'll tell you too, Dick Durbin, he's 80 years old. I mean, I just had JP look it up for me. He's 80 years old. I mean, my gosh, do you really want to be there and be Strom Thurmond and head into your second century as a U.S. senator? I wouldn't think so. So he needs to retire. All right, next question. Yaffe, I'm going to throw it to you, man. You're proxy in for Dale today. Take it and run, brother. What question do you have for us?
You know, it's kind of a general question, but I want to know what bill that has been maybe making its way through the Alabama legislature that hasn't passed that you would like to see pass. Is there anything out there that you're frustrated hasn't passed yet?
Well, me personally, it's one I had the somebody on the show about yesterday. I am fed up with the idea that we can't possibly oppose Google and Apple and big tech porn and actually just turn on a porn filter that protects kids. And
that's a good one.
That bill is in its second or third year of trying to get passage. And this year it passed the Senate first, and it's now running down to the House where it did pass last year. So there's no reason for it not to pass. But what I'm hearing is that a second bill that would also sort of assist, that would require just age verification on apps being downloaded onto kids' phones, that one is in trouble because leadership doesn't want to buck Apple and Google too much in one session. I'm thinking that's asinine. It's kids we're talking about. So that one, I got a lot of angst about that. I used to work with kids professionally, and I used to work with them in a treatment center, and I've seen what happens with kids who've been abused. And there are so many kids at risk. And part of it can be prevented so easily with low-hanging fruit like passing those two bills. There's nothing that prevents it from being passed. Jeff, what do you think? You're down there a lot. What are you saying that you want to see passed?
Birmingham Waterworks Board.
Oh, man.
That's got to happen. Got to happen this year. Democrats had an opportunity to work out some kind of agreement. They have been intransigent. They have, you know, this is very emblematic, guys, of the problem with the Alabama State Senate. Two Democrats running the show. You want something, you got to go kiss their ring or they will stand in the way. And you shouldn't have that Republican supermajority. Well, once finally Jabbo Wagner saw some virtue in this, and we started culture of Democrats. Dan Roberts has the bill. Jim Carnes has it in the House. Once and for all, put the end this Democrat corrupt Birmingham playground that it should have been ended a long time ago. It's time for the legislature to make it happen.
Oh, I agree with that. And that's a purely that's one that doesn't cross state borders per se, except when you describe it as corruption. For those of our listeners in Chattanooga, the Birmingham Waterworks Board has been the seed of corruption. It's one of the most corrupt entities in the entire state of Alabama. And you wouldn't think that it would, but it's like you're talking like hundreds of millions of dollars that have gone through there, and the accountability is just zilcho. And the level of, you know, I mean, people have gone to jail out of that place, and yet it still rocks on like nobody can make a change. And I think the legislature needs to hand it to them on a silver platter. It's your own question, Yaffe. What do you want to see passed?
I want to see a bill. It passed the Senate. I believe, unless, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it has not passed the House yet, to teach success sequence in schools. I don't know if you guys looked at that. Arthur Orr put it forward. It's the idea that you merely teach in schools that the best way to have success or the best thing that gives you chances is you teach, graduate high school, go to college or get a job, get married, and then have kids. There's a similar bill passed in Tennessee. And it would add it to like sort of the family curriculum. To me, it's like common sense. But Orr told me that there's been a hard time. There's been a lot of pushback by Democrats in the House. They're really upset about teaching that, which to me is just basic common sense.
Are they arguing that some of their constituencies would be offended by it? Or are they saying they just don't believe in the sequence? Oh, okay. So
yeah, it's offensive. Oh, you know, you don't have to. You could be a single mom and be successful, which.
Sure.
I mean, true. There are exceptions to the rule, but you would think overall, and all the studies back it up, and they're mentioned in the bill, but he said he got a lot more pushback from members of the House, and he got a bunch of emails back on it that he wasn't expecting.
Okay. All right. Wow. All right. Tell you what, I got about a minute and a half. I'll do a quick question. Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense. There's been a whole lot of chatter about whether or not he's going down in flames, whether he's going to be the next Michael Flynn who has to leave the administration within the first 90 days. Your thoughts, real quickly, is it going to happen or ain't it? Yaffe, you first.
Not anytime soon. It could happen maybe a little bit down the line, but right now, no.
I agree. Jeff, what do you think?
Absolutely not. Trump can't buckle here. He has to stick with this guy. He cannot give these guys an opening at all.
I agree. I think that's exactly it. I think, first of all, I think he's doing a great job. And secondly, I think Trump can't cave, because if he does, they will not be satisfied, because they're never satisfied. They'll be looking for the next blood in the water. That'll just give them, they'll whet their appetite. So I agree completely. All right, that's it. Round one of the Grand Council. I'm with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and Yaffe from WVNN in Huntsville, and up yonder in Chattanooga at 102.3. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're back for round two of the Grand Council. Two of my brethren in talk radio, Jeff Poore and Yaffe. First question, second round. Jeff Poore, what you got?
So the big hot state house rumor today. What's Tuberville going to do? And I guess the last 4 or 5 days I've been fielding calls that the announcement was supposed to come today. And then you started hearing it around the state house a little more. Well, no, maybe it's going to come tomorrow. What are you guys hearing? Anybody, any VIPs lighting you up about the Tuberville rumors?
Yeah, I've been hearing some pretty in-depth stuff. I'll be honest with you. He's going to run as far as I'm concerned. At this point, I will be shocked if he doesn't. How about that? And I think at that point, too, his name ID propels him to the top tier of, you know, what's to be expected. The question then becomes, what's Ainsworth going to do? Because everybody knows that Ainsworth has had his eyes on the governorship. And if he's got to spend millions to overcome, you know, the name ID giant in the room, I don't know that he can do it. So I think the second question that almost has to be followed up with that, Jeff, is what would Ainsworth do? Would he go to D.C. as a U.S. senator? Would he just get out of politics? What would happen then? Yaffe, you're welcome to weigh in, but I kind of want to blend my question with Jeff's.
Every time I bring up the issue and talk about the residency issue, which is always brought up, man, people get passionate about it on both sides. There's either people that really want Ainsworth, so they say, oh, he can't run, that's it. And then other people will be like, no, that's settled. It's not a problem. He'll be fine. So if he ends up running against Ainsworth, it's going to be pretty interesting, I think.
So, Jeff, you're hearing what right now?
My guess is, this is purely speculation, but that's what we do on radio, grossly speculate.
Yep.
He'll announce to like an inner circle or something, probably while he's in state. Obviously, he was in Huntsville today, Cash Patel and Katie Brin alongside. And he'll probably maybe some kind of fundraiser or something. There's people who are going to know that he's running for governor, but I would expect a big rollout probably in May. Where it'll be a little more. Now, here's something to think about, guys. Who's coming to Alabama next month? Would you try to merge the two events together?
What's the date that Trump's coming? Do you recall? What's the date of that that speech?
It's early May. Yeah.
So there's two things here. May 1st, I think, is a speech for Trump. You cannot officially announce for the purposes of the fundraising until May 26th, although I did hear, Jeff, and you may know, the legislature is talking about trying to move the date back to May 13th to get away from having a primary the day after Memorial Day next year, which would mean they could start earlier. But I don't know. But I think you nailed it. I think he's going to wind up having a special meeting with some people. And I think he's going to wind up, I would not be a bit surprised if he doesn't make a courtesy call to Ainsworth, because I don't think they're adverse to each other, but they are both vying for the same thing potentially. And then I think the news begins to trickle out that the inner circle is letting it be known that our man's in the market. And then he's going to officially announce on whatever first date he can, I would think next month, so that the fundraising kicks off.
Let me raise an important point here. All right. And I know the rules for governor are different than Senate. He still has a Senate PAC that he can raise money for. And then what he can do, he can back a bunch of members in the Senate with that, who will in turn around, come to Alabama and do fundraisers for him. So he's got some options here that like an Ainsworth wouldn't have. I don't think Ainsworth's going to run for governor against Tuberville. I think he might hesitate to run for Senate, but he'll probably end up in that Senate race.
Well, so, yeah, and I would think so, too. Having young kids, I certainly respect that, but Katie Britt has also shown you can have a family and still go back and forth to D.C. I really think that what you're going to want – but by the way, too, one of the interesting things, I didn't know this till recently, a federal PAC raised for a federal office can be used for a state office, but you can't take a state PAC and run it for federal. So he could bring that money with him, too, for his race, too, is my understanding.
Wasn't that what Marshall tried to do with the RAGA thing, and then they took it to court, but he prevailed?
I think you may be right. That does sound familiar.
But Archer Davis tried to do the same thing, but he ran for governor, and they didn't let him do it.
And they didn't let him go the opposite direction with it, yeah. He couldn't turn around and run for Congress with the money he raised to run for a state office. But yeah, it does trickle down, but it doesn't run up. We'll see, man, but I really think that's what's going to be. And I think you're going to watch it. Looking around the nation, this is like you got Marsha Blackburn running. You've got Vivek Ramaswamy running. What people are seeing is the power of the executive branch. I think COVID and the Trump campaign have shown the world that the power of the executive branch is more than we thought. Even DeSantis proved that in Florida. And I think you're going to wind up seeing that there's going to be some pretty dynamic conservative Republican candidates for governor who are going to jump on in the races. And it's going to be more than just
Marsha Blackburn said that. Yeah. She said that's one reason why she wants to run for governor if she decides to.
Because one person can make a difference.
Going back to the states.
Yeah. And they come out of being one of 100 to being one of one who can then try to have a greater opportunity to impact, where they are. I think it's going to be something to watch. It's going to be huge. I'll be honest with you. I am so ready to have a governor. And the phrase that I keep using is I'm ready to have a God-fearing gunslinger come in there and actually speak to the events of the day and not just go, hi, Steppa, y'all, and then be gone again for another 3 weeks and we don't see her. I'm ready to have somebody in there who's going to be out front leading the charge. And we can rally around. So let's see it happen. Bring it. Bring it. Is that the music? Am I there? That was one question that dominated the whole time. Yaffe, thanks for sitting in for Dale, man. We appreciate you. Jeff Poore, thank you. We'll talk soon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. That's the Grand Council. We'll be right back.